So Christians are called to live eternity now. Not some pie in the sky when we die, but we are called to partake in, to consume the heavenly pie in the thick and the thin of this life that we live. The prayer of Jesus to today's gospel, in today's gospel is very clear. That our lives, here and now, are to be shaped and directed by the gift of eternal life. And that means union with God. And that's an awesome thought this morning. That's an awesome goal that we have. Our Lord, our Saviour, our Jesus, prays for us a prayer of profoundness. He prays for us a prayer of intimacy, that you and I are to know God with such closeness that the only word, union, that's the only word that will do to explain that relationship. That only one word in the whole of the English language can describe this awesome thought and this awesome goal. And that word is union. Now, this is a pretty hard thought. And yes, Jesus can pray for union with God and the Father. And that's an obvious part of what we understand as the incarnation. In our gospel reading, Jesus claims the glory of his union with the Father before the world existed. The Word was in the beginning with God and was God. We read that in John chapter 1. We can say that of Jesus, but saying that of ourselves is altogether more troublesome this morning. We're only human, and with our human character comes all kinds of disqualifications for union with God. Sin, selfishness, conceit, hatred, laziness. I could go on and on. But it's also plain to see, but yet, our scripture and Jesus tells us we were created for eternal life. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This intimacy of knowing is about a quality of living this morning. A quality of living that takes the whole of a person, body, mind and soul. What you do with your body, what you do with your mind, what you allow into your soul is all about the quality of living. And sadly, there's a flip side to that coin. It's all about the inferiority of living. Jesus prays that the discipleship we undertake, will lead to some kind of union with himself, and a knowing of the Father. Now this is huge this morning. This is daunting for the person who lives in the shadows of conceit. This is daunting for the person who lives in the shadows of selfishness. This is daunting for the person who lives in the shadows of mediocrity, just getting by, just flying under the radar. For such a person, this is not a promise to be lived out. This is a promise to be avoided. But for those who love the Lord, we are called to enjoy this kind of life right now. Right now. We see our goal on the horizon, and we see that eternal life is ours. Right now. Now and here. Who knows Usain Bolt? Don't know if you know him personally, but know of him. Yeah, everyone's heard of Usain Bolt. Yeah, he does the Optus ads, doesn't he? I was reading about Usain. He's a former Jamaican sprinter and a world record holder. And he gives most of his credit for his success to his running coach. His running coach used to drum into him constantly the need to keep his eyes looking towards the finishing tape, whether he could see that or not. Now Usain said at that time he used to run the 400 metres. So there were some corners to tackle. And so the temptation was always to look and see where the other runners were. And he said that was fatal. He said, always keep your eyes and always keep your will on the finish. No matter how long you've been going to church, I don't care how long you've been going to church, and no matter what position you hold in church, it doesn't matter. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the same is essential in discipleship. The same is essential for you. We must keep our eyes, we must keep our intentions, we must keep our wills fixed on eternal life this morning. But how do we do this? I think there's help for this very thing in Jesus' words in this gospel passage. Jesus prays for his disciples. Jesus prays for his friends. He prays for himself. And he prays for all Christians of all time and all place. Jesus prays for us. John 17 is by far the longest prayer that comes from Jesus' lips that we have in the Gospels. It makes plain again that for Jesus, prayer was an essential factor of being alive. It was no add-on. It was not a 15-minute or a 5-minute thing that was done in the morning or before we went to bed. It was part of his very breath. It was the necessity for living for Jesus. Somewhere, Mahatma Gandhi wrote these words. He said, I discovered that after a time of prayer, I was able to do far greater amount of work. A doctor has testified as a medical fact that my blood pressure was lowered by it, my nerves calmer, my mind rested and alert, my whole body in better health. I was refreshed and ready for work, and if previously I had been in a mood of pessimism or despair, after I prayed, I was changed with new hope and confidence. Mahatma Gandhi was an admirer of Jesus, but he did not share our faith in Jesus. And here's my point. If that's the witness of a non-believer about prayer, how much more seriously should we take prayer as believers this morning? In the light of so many Christians who witness the very same thing. Eternal life now means sharing the prayer of Christ now. Sharing it regularly, sharing it earnestly, sharing it in an unhurried way. It must be as breath to us as it was to Jesus. Our Anglican tradition of Christian faith is one that has looked to shared prayer from its very inception. Our foundational document is the Common Book of Prayer. And its authors were concerned to encourage every believer to join with other believers regularly in common prayer. Indeed, they thought that the unity of the church as the body of Christ, it hinged on the commonality of shared prayer. The character and quality of our faith is shaped by our prayers together. This is how we keep our eyes on and our wills fixed on eternal life, by our prayer. This is how we encourage each other in running the race of discipleship, by our praying. This is how we prepare ourselves to reconcile or to recognize eternal truths in the commonplace of just ordinary life. We do that by our praying. This is how we are reminded again and again and again of the ways that we can keep close to Christ and let his intentions direct our living. It is by our praying this morning. Peter Taylor Forsyth is a great Scottish theologian, and he once told a congregation these words. He said, when you reflect after worship, what have I done today? Say to yourself, I have yielded myself to take part with the church in Christ's finishing act of redemption, which is greater than the making of the whole world. Now that's the awesome significance this morning, both of our worship and of our prayer. There is glory And there is eternity to be lived now. Right now. Amen?
Amen.
To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor, glory, might, power, and dominion, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.